Welcome back to the Speak Your Peace podcast. My name is Ian McNaughton, Big E here. We are a little bit late putting this out. I'm a little bit late putting this out, I will admit. But I like to think for good reason. And we start with the title of the episode, of this episode, which is to commit or not commit to the bit. And I wanted to make that the title for one big reason. This is what I'm going to lead into this episode with. It's to commit or not commit to the bit. If you're not familiar with the phrase commit to the bit or committing to the bit, I'll see what the internet has to say. But I am someone myself who I would say commits the bit more than anybody else of being a sicko, being a bit of a degenerate, and just being a caricature of myself, a character. That's who I view myself as, and that's how I go about my life, mostly. According to Urban Dictionary, a legitimate source, obviously, you can put that in Wikipedia and they'll use it. You can put that in any university paper. They'll accept it as a source. Not a problem. Always use Urban Dictionary to source your papers. Urban Dictionary's commitment to the bit. Doing something as a joke to a point where it's not just a joke anymore. And that's actually a really, really great definition for commitment to the bit. I'll repeat to myself. Commitment to the bit, doing something as a joke to the point where it's not just a joke anymore. Where you truly, seriously either believe it or just do it unironically, and it becomes part of your everyday life. And the reason this episode is titled To Commit or Not Commit to the Bit is I was watching NFL football this past Sunday, watching playoff games. And the Rams game was obviously fun to watch. They lost to the Lions. Great seeing the Lions win. Great seeing the Rams lose. Best of both worlds. But what stood out in my mind earlier in the day was the Dallas Cowboys getting shellacked by the Green Bay Packers. I led with football last week. I'm leading with football again. I know. Bear with me. The Dallas Cowboys got shellacked. That is a franchise who I would say commits to the bit more than anybody else. And you're probably wondering, what does that mean? How do the Cowboys commit to the bit? So, to answer that, I'm going to use Monday's example, because I will use, again, when I brought back SYP Pod 4.0, this last iteration. When I brought it back, I originally had plans to record on Mondays for it to drop on Tuesday. And I thought, no, you know what, this week, I'm going to wait an extra day because there's NFL games on Monday, and I want to see how those play out. And if they add to my opening topic of discussion. And the first game on Monday kind of did, kind of didn't. We didn't really learn anything. There wasn't any real major takeaways from that game. We know the Bills are really good. We know the Steelers are pretty mid. They're not that great. That game went about how it should have gone of the Bills just kicking the Steelers' butt. But then Monday comes around, Monday night, Eagles at Bucks, and the Eagles absolutely commit to the bit against the Bucks. They lost, I think it was 32-9 to Tampa Bay. They did not do any sort of adjustments, make any sort of changes. The Eagles, for really the last two seasons, have been the same team. Same play calling, worse defensive scheme. They brought in Matt Patricia, which that is not good for many reasons. But the Eagles, like the Cowboys, really showed their true self in their losses of committing to the bit. So that's what I was going to, when I was going to record earlier on Tuesday, I recorded this Tuesday night, Jan 16th. I was going to start recording. And then I got distracted by the Oilers and the Maple Leafs. Big NHL guy. The Toronto Maple Leafs lost again. They blew another third period lead, this time to the Edmonton Oilers. And I thought, wow, the Toronto Maple Leafs, they wanted to get in on the action. They wanted to get in on committing to the bit. Now, let me go team by team by team here. At least in the three negative lights. The Dallas Cowboys, for as long as I can remember, have been flops in the playoffs, to put it nicely. They have, I think, one playoff win in the last 10 years. No, two playoff wins in the last 10 years. Something like that. Terrible postseason record. Pretty good regular season numbers, all things considered, especially under Dak Prescott. This is a team under Dak Prescott in the regular season that's good to win 10 games, pretty much. More or less. And this year was no different. Cowboys, I think, won 11 games. They won the division. They got to host a first-round playoff game. First in the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys. They got to host a playoff game against the Green Bay Packers, who didn't clinch their playoff spot until week 18, final week of the season. They clinched their spot, winning in. They get to go play the Cowboys. The Cowboys were horrendous. They were out-coached. They were outplayed. They were outmatched. They were out-physicaled. Anything that happened in the Packers-Cowboys game, the Packers were better than the Cowboys had. Straight up. And people are going to be like, oh, Prescott got 400 yards. He got those in garbage time. Let's not hype up Dak Prescott's performance, because it was not. He had a really bad pick six where he thinks the Darnell Savage, the safety who's coming down, he thinks he's going to go with this guy. So he's going to throw to the other guy that's trailing behind him. Well, Savage doesn't go with the guy Prescott thinks he's going to go with. He just stays and he just, you know, gets right in front of that ball. That's just bad quarterbacking play. That's Savage reading the quarterback. That's Savage watching the quarterback's eyes. That's just unacceptable at this late in the year with this important of a game, already down two touchdowns at least. So the Cowboys have committed to the bit by being failures. Straight up. This is just who this team is. This team, I joked about, they are America's Maple Leafs. They can do really good in the regular season. Prescott had a really good year. Tony Pollard had a really good year. I thought the defense was strong. CeeDee Lamb, obviously. People were saying that he was the offensive player of the year. Some people were saying he deserved offensive player of the year recognition, and that's all well and good. That's all fine, great, cool. None of that shit matters unless you can win the big games in January and February, and the Cowboys haven't. That's just not what their DNA is, and unfortunately it hasn't been under Dak Prescott. It definitely hasn't been under Mike McCarthy. And I don't know how you can reasonably run everything back and try it again without looking like a laughing stock. Now, the Cowboys don't have many options to upgrade at quarterback, because when you're trying to upgrade at quarterback, you're trying to figure out who's available for a trade and who's better than the guy you currently have. And I don't know that there's that many options for the Cowboys at quarterback. Like, genuinely to replace Prescott. I think he's a really good quarterback. I think he is the NFL's Austin Matthews. Maybe he's more than Mitch Marner, but he is the Austin Matthews in the way that he gets attention, that he's supposed to lead the team, that he's the quarterback. He's supposed to lead the team. He's supposed to, you know, wherever he goes, that team goes. That's the same with Matthews in Toronto. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it isn't. But the Cowboys, more than anything, need a new head coach. They need a guy who isn't a static, boring, wonderbread option as a head coach. Because that's just not working in 2024. It just isn't. You know, the Jason Garrett types, the Wade Phillips types just aren't working. Just straight up. You can cycle through the guys that have come in. Hasn't worked out. Hasn't gone well. And I think there are several options to zag from their current coach, who is just not a good coach. He is an average NFL coach at best. I'm sorry. He has won Super Bowl. He has milked that Super Bowl for all it's worth, and it's time to move on. You can go and get somebody else who is more innovative, who is younger, maybe even cheaper. I don't know if Jerry Jones cares about the cost of the coach, but you can find someone out there who is all three of those things. And if you decide, nope, we like the guy that we have, after that showing that you put in front of your home crowd on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers, congrats. You're just going to lose in the first round again next year. Why should I expect anything different? Nothing's going to change. You guys draft well. You guys have good players at, you know, high impactful positions. But, you know, you can't expect different results if you don't change. And the Cowboys haven't changed. They're the same, you know, it's the same old Cowboys. We talk about the same old Lions. Mike Tirico brought that up on the Sunday night game. Same old Lions, same old Cowboys. Why should I expect anything different from you guys? You guys haven't shown me, and I'm not a fan, but you guys haven't shown me, an outsider, any reason to think that something different is going to happen this year, or next year, or the year after. So, get a new coach, establish another new culture, a real one, and maybe teams will take you seriously. Maybe I'll take you seriously. And that leads into the shellacking that the Philadelphia Eagles got on Monday Night Football against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's the second time in three years, that the Eagles have lost in the opening round to the Bucs. The Eagles more or less have been running, I would say probably since their losing streak, I'm going to say 6 weeks, but probably since their losing streak started, have ran more or less the same three plays of a screen, an RPO, and some sort of draw play. The offense has been so dull, so boring. Speaking of being unimaginative, that's what Nick Sirianni and the Eagles have been. Now, I get that the Eagles, they basically found, a lost $20 bill in their coat pocket last year with Jalen Hurts, that offensive line, some of the running stuff that they were able to do. Hurts had an amazing arm, and you saw that on Monday night. He had a really nice deep ball to, I believe it was AJ Brown or Devontae Smith. One of them was hurt, one of them was not. I'm sorry, I can't remember which one was which. One of their top receivers got over the top and made a big play. I'm going to say it was Devontae Smith. But the Eagles never made any sort of adjustments, any sort of changes to their scheme, to their structure, to their play calling. They went out and ran the same plays over and over and over and over and over every single goddamn week. And NFL teams are just too smart to let that slip. Let that go unnoticed. The Seattle Seahawks, who had one of the worst defenses in the NFL last year, or this past season, excuse me, limited the Eagles to just 20 points. They made a like the Eagles were doing a really good job moving the ball against the Seahawks in the first half, but the Seahawks made the adjustments and the changes that they needed to in for the second half, and they held on to win. For Tampa, they played Philadelphia earlier this season and they got shellacked. But Tampa was just better in their preparation, in their scheming. You could see how many times on Monday night the Bucs brought pressure, brought five, six guys, man coverage, one high, cover zero, no high safeties. And Jalen Hurts just didn't have an answer for it. He wasn't ready. He was not prepared for the pressure that he was about to face on Monday night, which is kind of insane considering the Buccaneers head coach is Todd Bowles, and Todd Bowles commits to the bit as a defensive guy more than anybody. Of sending the house, of coming up with weird, wonky blitzes to create pressure and to make sure that his guys are in the quarterback's face and knock him to the ground. And you're not ready for that? You're not prepared for that? You didn't think that was coming? I don't know what you were expecting, Nick Sirianni. So, offensively, this team has been frustrating for the last 6, 7 weeks since America Thanksgiving. The Eagles offense has been frustrating, which it's maybe not as frustrating as their defensive struggles have been, but the offense has been the bread and butter of this team. That's why this team got to the Super Bowl last year, was because they had a really strong offensive line. They had a really dynamic quarterback who could run or pass. He had a strong deep ball, can more or less make great RPOs and reads off those RPOs. So while the offensive struggles may not have been as bad as the defensive struggles were for the Eagles, the offensive ones are probably more frustrating because of how highly we thought of the Eagles' offense and how creative they were last year. It's the highs and lows. Like the highs of the Eagles' offense last year of running essentially anything you want, having a strong offensive and defensive line allows you to do so many things. Especially when you have a mobile quarterback like Hurts, who can run the ball, who's not afraid to run the ball, who can take off and run with it. Defensively, they hired Matt Patricia to be the defensive coordinator midway through the season. They made him the DC, and that was a terrible decision because Matt Patricia is not an NFL coach. We if there was if there wasn't any if there wasn't enough evidence before that Matt Patricia cannot coach at the NFL level, We got more of it. We got another dose. We got another dose that we didn't need of Matt Patricia coaching in the NFL. And the Eagles, of anybody, should have recognized that. Considering they beat Matt Patricia and the fucking Patriots in the Super Bowl, I don't know, 6 years ago now. So, sucks to suck. You hate to see it, but you didn't do anything different. You didn't change. You didn't evolve. You didn't evolve. You didn't pivot. You committed to the bit. You stayed on brand to the point where it was easy for teams to scout you. It was easy for teams to figure you out. It was easy for Baker Mayfield, who were now, you know, doing double takes on Baker Mayfield. It was easy for Baker Mayfield to figure out your defense, to make really strong passes to Evans, to Godwin, Cade Otton, some tight end. So, and again, kudos to the Buccaneers. They did a really good job. But my point is, you girl bossed a little too close to the sun, Philadelphia. That's what happened. Those are the football examples. I'm going to pivot to hockey because I've talked about football for the last 1.5 episodes. I'm going to talk about hockey. And I don't want to be a Maple Leafs podcast. That's not what I want. But my Maple Leafs rant or just my grievance with the Maple Leafs is how they commit to the bit. This team does not have that dog in them. They don't. This is not a serious team. They have blown leads in their last 4 games to the Oilers, Red Wings, Avalanche, and then Islanders. This team is not a real team. It's not a serious team. It's not a legit team. And they haven't shown me anything to think otherwise. They don't have a true goaltender. They don't have a real goalie to trust, to lean on in tough times. They have a D group that is old, that is led by Morgan Rielly, who I think Morgan Rielly is having a really, really, really good season and deserves a lot of credit for how well he's performing. But that's really it. They have a coach who I get mixing lines in January. You want to try some things. You want to do some things a little different. You want to, you know, get the blender going, mix some stuff up. But holy shit. Like, good teams, great teams, know who their lines are. Great teams know who their dudes are, who they can lean on, who they can go to. And Auston Matthews is not a guy you can lean on in the playoffs to win the Stanley Cup. And you might be thinking, oh, that's a little harsh. Yeah, it is. But no one, here's the thing. Mitch Marner got 600, he hit his 600-point plateau the other day. And that's cool. That's great. 600 points is really fucking tough to do. That's 600 more than I will ever get in my career. But the way people remember you and how they remember you in a positive light is by your championships, is by your Stanley Cups. And you guys haven't even got out of the second round as a core. And there's no reason for me to think that you guys will, because you haven't shown any sort of fight any sort of dog, any sort of energy, any sort of motivation that you want it more than the next guy. The Maple Leafs are like the 2011 Vancouver Canucks. And if you watched the 2011 Stanley Cup Finals and thought, hey, the Canucks were really good and the Canucks were the better team and the Canucks should have won that cup because they were more skilled and they were better. Sure, they probably should have, but they didn't. And you know why? Because the Boston Bruins were a bunch of assholes who did not give a fuck what you thought, what your mom thought, what your brother thought. Nobody, they didn't give a shit. They were just there to go win the fucking game and to go score more goals than the next team. And we don't care how we're going to do it. And Matthews and Marner and Nylander and Tavares and Riley don't have that. They just don't have that fight in them. They don't have that dog in them. They don't have that energy. They don't have that bite that you need to have when you got to throw a face wash in there. You need to get in somebody's goddamn face. You need to make your presence known. And you do that, you know, pretty well by scoring goals. But physically, you have to let them know that you're here and you're not to be fucked with. And the Maple Leafs can't do that. Maple Leafs haven't done that. They lost 4-2 to Edmonton tonight as I record this. The Oilers, I don't want to say stink because they're getting better. They've won like 11 straight. But you're losing to the Oilers. You're losing to a team that they're not afraid to play physical, especially their depth guys. Their depth guys are not afraid to get in your face, to, you know, give you an extra chop, to, you know, put their hand in your face. Like, they're not afraid to do that stuff, and that's the stuff that will help win you games. Outside of, you know, goaltending and staying healthy and getting hot in the right time and all those cliches. The Oilers showed that they wanted to be a playoff team and they wanted to win the cup more. Sorry, they did. That's who they are. That's what they're about. They at least have goals and aspirations to win the cup, and they've at least showed it. The Maple Leafs happened. I'm sure they, you know, will get a new coach at some point, you know, after this season. I can't imagine Sheldon Keefe staying after this season. I'm sure Tree Living wants to get his own guy in there. And I probably praise the Oilers more than I should have, because they're also a team that probably isn't going to win the cup because they have their own goaltending concerns and their own defensive concerns. But at least they got that fight. At least they're not afraid to get in someone's face. And the Toronto Maple Leafs have never been about that. Not for at least 20 years. You know, Bertuzzi might. Domi might. But it's not really about those guys. Those guys aren't driving the bus for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's Matthews who's driving the bus. It's Marner who's driving the bus. It's Nylander, Tavares. Those are the guys who are driving the bus. And those are the guys who need to show another level, another fuck you. I don't give a fuck who you are. I'm going to go, you know, win this game. I'm going to go fucking win this cup. I will do whatever it takes. You are not beating me. And maybe they change. Probably not. They probably need a new coach to instill that in him, in them, excuse me. Because Sheldon Keefer, as cool of a guy as he is, as good of a coach as he is, he hasn't shown that. He hasn't provided that mentality to this team. And as a result, they're they're mid. They'd be sick, you know, if we went back to the old style, they are six in the Eastern Conference and they're playing Florida. And they're probably not beating Florida. They're 1 point better than the Toronto or the Detroit Red Wings with a game in hand. And the Red Wings are very average. The Red Wings are a fringe wild card team at best. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are 1 point better than them. This is definitely not as good of a team as in recent years. This is a team that is very similar vibe-wise, at least to the 2019-20 Maple Leafs, that seemed like they were just clinging on and, you know, things will click and it'll come together and things will work out. And they didn't work out. They lost to the Blue Jackets in the bubble playoffs. That's where this team is headed, is losing in five to the Panthers if they make the playoffs. I don't know that they do. They might, you know, get swept by the Rangers. So, in conclusion, the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Maple Leafs all commit to the bid. Whether it be playoff flops, like the Cowboys, not making proper adjustments, not making changes, not pivoting like the Eagles have, or just being a, you know, historically cursed franchise that is, you know, probably not winning a cup for a while, like the Toronto Maple Leafs. The takeaway from all of this is that you have to be willing to pivot. You have to be willing to change, to zig while everybody else is zagging. The example I'll bring into this conversation is the Detroit Lions, who hired Dan Campbell 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 3 years ago, no, two, I don't know. Point is, hired Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell was an outside hire. It was a surprise hire. They went with him because they trusted him, they believed in him, and they thought he could instill a culture in the Lions that they needed to be successful, to be a top team in the NFL. And a lot of people criticized them for the hire, saying that he's not an NFL head coach. He is a weirdo. He doesn't understand what it's like to be an NFL head coach. And you know what? Those people are wrong. The Lions are now one of the eight best teams in football, officially. They won their playoff game. They beat the Rams. They get another home playoff game against the Bucks this upcoming Sunday. They hired Dan Campbell to instill a culture about being like Detroit tough, about, you know, not being the same old Lions. This is a different Lions team. This is a different roster. And the Lions were not afraid to pivot. They traded Matthew Stafford. They brought in Jared Goff. You know, they you know, brought in David Montgomery and drafted Jahmyr Gibbs. They went with also the obvious guy, second overall in Aiden Hutchinson, which sometimes it can just be as easy as that. It's just taking the best player available that played in your home state, from a blue chip school. Sometimes it's just as easy as that. But the Lions were not afraid to pivot, to go in a different direction, and take the risks that come with going against the grain, with doing something different, going outside of the box. And even the Eagles went outside of the box with Nick Sirianni. And it's lasted, you know, a good 24 months. It's over now, it feels like, with Sirianni. Unless that team can figure out their offense and have a better game plan, it feels like it's over. With Dan Campbell, it feels like things are just getting started. And it feels like the Lions are building themselves into a contender for years to come. I don't know what the hockey example of not being afraid to pivot or change would be. It might be the Vegas Golden Knights because they do like they like fucking Willy Wonka elevator style go all over the place wherever, whenever, however. You know, we've seen it with their goaltending. We saw it with Jack Eichel, the Petrangelo free agency signing not that many years ago. It's probably the Vegas Golden Knights. Because they've never been a team. I mean, they've been around for a short period of time, but they've committed to the bit of not being afraid to pivot, not just sticking to one thing, changing it up. You know, all right, we have Marc-Andre Fleury. Let's go get Robin Lehner. They got Robin Lehner, and you know what? They won a cup with neither one of those guys. They won a cup with Aiden Hill being their starting goalie. Sometimes shit happens like that. But you can't be afraid to, you know, make a change or do something different because you think this is the best thing for your team. Because you think this gives you the best opportunity to win for your team. And the Cowboys haven't with Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy has essentially felt like an extension of Jason Garrett. Eagles didn't offensively. I know I keep hammering on the Eagles offense, but that it's really if you go watch some of the Eagles film, you go watch some of those games, it's really bad. It's not great. I don't know how to describe it. It's the antithesis of what you want to do as an NFL offense. And the Maple Leafs are really just the Maple Leafs. They stuck with their guys. They didn't move on from their core four. They held on to all of those guys. They gave those guys extensions. Matthews has been extended. Marner's been extended. Nylander got extended the other day. All those guys have been extended. They've committed to those guys. And those guys have not evolved. Unlike the Detroit Lions, who have evolved and have been doing business differently for several years now. Kind of the same with the Vegas Golden Knights. They haven't been afraid to change, to bring new guys in, send out guys. You know, if you're looking for another hockey example, the Islanders commit to the bit. The Islanders are the most commit to the bit team in the NHL. They got to the conference finals 2 years in a row, 2 out of 3 years during the bubble seasons. Hasn't really meant anything since. You know, they got a new coach. It's still more or less the same guys. So the point is with all of this, yes, you can commit to the bit. Yes, you can keep doing something. And maybe statistically it will work one time. And you can call it a success. And you can call it, you know, great. And it finally worked. And maybe you think you look like a genius because while everybody else was hating and everybody else was saying how stupid this is, the one time it actually worked, now you look like a genius. That's basically what the Seattle Mariners' path to the World Series is. But in sports and in life, you can't be afraid to change and pivot and do something else that you think is better for yourself, that you think is better for your team, that you think is better for everybody, for people that you know, people you work with, people you live with. Committing to the bit is cool. Committing to the bit is fun. It's when there is no point, to the point of no return, that's when it becomes concerning. And that's where you have to really dig yourself out of the hole, like the Dallas Cowboys are going to, that the Philadelphia Eagles now have to, that the Toronto Maple Leafs have been since 1967. So you can commit to the bit. You can be the Cowboys. You can be the Eagles. You can be the Maple Leafs. That's great. You know, the Eagles did win a Super Bowl. But they had a young hotshot coach. They had a young hotshot quarterback. And they flamed out 2-3 years later. That's kind of how it goes in sports and in life. But you have to be ready to pivot, to give yourself options for greater success. You can't be afraid to do that. Otherwise, you become stagnant. Otherwise, you become complacent. And otherwise, you're just doing it to do it. Not because you care, but because that's just all you know, and that's what you just keep doing. You're just committing to the bit. That's just how that is sometimes. So don't be afraid to pivot. Don't be afraid to change. Don't worry about the reaction that comes from it, because it doesn't really matter. You're doing what you think is best for either you, your team, your organization, the people around you. Don't be afraid to make change. I don't know how to properly close this outside of commit or not commit. Be the Cowboys or don't be the Cowboys. Be the Maple Leafs or don't be the Maple Leafs. You could be the Blackhawks. Could be worse. That's the podcast this week. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much for listening. Follow us on Instagram at SYPPod. Check us out, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Again, thank you very much for listening. I greatly appreciate it. I'll be back again next week. Can't wait to talk to you guys then. Peace out.